Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Turn down a gig tonight, Joe, to do this stupid ass podcast that we do.
Where? What kind of gig? An RJ Jackson gig or like
nothing that good. It was a gig somewhere in Baltimore, the Underwear Comedy Show.
I saw that, and on the promo picture, there's a guy licking a girl's butt. Is that what's happening? I didn't blow it up to see.
I would not have turned that down if that was the case.
Do you see what I'm talking about? If you go onto Facebook, and of course, by the time this broadcast, the event will be over, so you won't be able to see it. But there's like a hot chick standing up with like a oops face, and there's some guy with his face buried in her butt crack.
Walker Hayes is the one that puts this together. Walker's a comedian. She's an attractive girl. But yeah, you perform in your underwear. And
what does that have to do with that sex act? That's clearly different than being in your underwear.
I don't know.
It's a misrepresentation. It's not an orgy.
Maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe you're just in your underwear, so things are more likely to jump off. Would you perform in your underwear?
Right now, I don't believe my upper half is ready for not having a shirt on stage.
Well, what if it was, it's not like you can pretty much do whatever you want. I assume you could have a shirt on.
Can I wear a t-shirt and boxers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could do that.
Would you wear flip-flops?
No, I wear no shoes.
Speaking of flip-flops, did you wear flip-flops this past Thursday night at the finals of the Baltimore Comedy Factory like you did last year?
No, I didn't. And I want to say congratulations. I don't know if this is her name. She goes by Phoenix on stage. Phonyn. I don't know, something like that.
E-N-Y.
So she won, but on Facebook she's known as Phoenix Rising. Clearly not a real name, but
was she known that before she won or now she's rising because she won?
I don't know, but every joke she told was about getting banged. And then when she got off stage, she said, "Vote for the bitch with the big, big titties." And she walked off stage and they did.
It should
they
be
voted
Phoenix,
for the bitch with the big, big titties. That is exactly
Phoenix riding is what it should be.
Dude, that's funny you say that. You know, you only do like 5 minutes. There's 13 comics. And I think of the 5 minutes, like four of it was about her riding guys. It was pretty hilarious, though.
It's smart. You're trying to win money.
She won it.
I want to talk about this because last year, the finals, I was there. Robbie was there. Gramps was there. Rob and I were judges. And this year, I'm talking to a comic, Petey Steele, on Facebook. He happens to be in the finals. He goes, "Hey, you coming to the show tomorrow night?" I'm like, "What show?" He goes, "It's the finals of the Comedy Factory." I'm like, "Oh, I didn't even know that was happening." Which I found odd that you hadn't mentioned that to me. So then the day of, this past Thursday, I talked to you. And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm thinking about going." And you didn't want me to go, basically.
Yeah, I definitely did not want you to go. What's funny is that we talk on this show openly about you and you just hatred for the person that owns that club. We can go back and play some clips. And now when I'm like, "Hey, you're kind of persona non grata," you act surprised as if somehow there's no history. By the way, I'm not taking sides. I take your side.
Right.
I know that you're not wrong, but I have to go there and I have to do this. I don't feel like feeling awkward and then doing it, unless it was important. I even said to you, if you really want to go, then we'll go. I'll just endure. But obviously, if you were just like, man, I'll go, then yeah, I did not want to walk in there and have a problem on this day before I even did anything else.
Okay, but since all that's happened, I've been there to judge the finals. I was there for the Kirk McEwen roast.
No, you know,
we were going to have murder mystery shows there.
Yeah, I mean, that's where the problem was. In that, remember, we booked it at Magoobies, and I've said on here, and I said to Chip, and I said everybody that it was just as much me as you. But I think it's easier for them to blame you because then they can work with me because they like me and they want to work with me. And if they can just take what they think that I did and place it on you, then somehow the world's okay.
Okay,
but that's what they've done.
But there's nothing was done. The only reason we're not doing a show with the Comedy Factory because they don't want us. That's the only reason.
I understand that. And you know, because we talked about it on here at length, is that when we booked it at Magoobies, it went on their website, I think, if I'm not mistaken, like that Monday, and we were doing our, that Tuesday, and we were doing our show that Sunday. And that's what they took exception to. So when I went in there and explained what happened, yes, I said, hey, Rob went and talked to Magoobies, but I agreed with it. I agreed. I was for it and so forth. But because I told them that you went, they're able to make you the scapegoat and then they can still have a relationship with me. I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Yeah, but they could just not be angry about it.
No, I agree, but you're right. Yes, I understand that. But I'm okay. So if you want to resolve that, then that's fine.
And I wanted to go in, and you said I should steer clear.
Yeah, not on a day that I have to judge this contest. I don't want to be dealing with that. You want to go tomorrow? I'll drive to the Baltimore Comedy Factory with you tomorrow and help resolve this.
I like Chip. Chip is the manager. Will that be
Chip's
his title?
Awesome, yes.
Chip is Mickey Coachella's brother. I've been friends with Chip for over 10 years. I've never had a problem with Chip. I've liked every single person that's ever worked there. Except for the owner. And the owners did me wrong.
I haven't liked every
person
that ever worked there. I didn't like Alex Powers, but I liked everybody.
I meant, did she work there?
Used to be a waitress there.
Okay. Well, I liked Alex. She was fine with me. I didn't like her comedy, but I liked her. But no, I'm the victim in this story that goes back 6-7 years now.
I agree 100%. And here we are saying it publicly that you're the victim, but I didn't want to resolve it that day. That was not the day to resolve that problem.
Okay. Well, it seems like you went out of your way to not mention to me that the finals was coming up.
I don't think I went out of my way.
Robbie thinks you went out of the way to not say it to him because he would say it to me.
Every single day, Walt Ostrowski, who's a local comic, Jeremy Hall, who's a local comic, they were all advertising this, the finals of this contest on Facebook. Like I was being tagged in it and I was, hey, and right. I would click on that I'm going to this. So I wasn't, there was no hiding, but I didn't promote it on my own Facebook.
Well, maybe I don't frequent Walter Strosky's Facebook page.
Friends with him, so it's in your news feed. I'm sure you never go to Walter Strosky's Facebook.
Somehow I missed it. Well, congratulations. Other than that, was it a good turnout? Tell me all about it, Joe.
Yeah, so it was. It was a super packed house. There's two things, I guess, of consequence. The first thing is there was a guy, and I know there are a lot of comics that listen to this show, but he was given the third spot, which is a great spot. It's a great spot. I do 10 minutes off the top. Somebody else does 5 minutes. Somebody else does 5 minutes. I do a little banter in between. You are literally 22 minutes into the show. It's a perfect spot, right?
Yeah.
Because what happens, usually somebody that's like third, fourth, or fifth will be the funniest person, and then everybody after that kind of has to unseat them, right? That's usually how these things work. This guy, his name was I.K. Amadi was his name. He drew the third spot. Right. And he goes, hey, man, can I go? You let her go last because somebody came late. And I said, if somebody comes late, they either go first or last, right? So this girl came late, and I put her on last. He goes, hey, she gets to go last. I go, you want to go last? He goes, yeah. I go, okay. So I move this guy actually to second to last, and he bombs. He had a ton of people there, and somebody told me the guy was funny. So what happens is he literally he could have cost himself $1,500 by moving because you could tell he had a good set, but people were kind of done. They were ready to, they were ready for the end of this thing.
It's not just the length of the show. It's the number of comics.
Exactly. You've already seen me and 11 other comics by the time it got to him. Yeah, he made a really, really big mistake. I mean, not personal. The guy was probably a nice guy. And he, like I said, he had good jokes, but by the time he went on, it was too late. So that was the first thing. There's another comic. I'm going to mention his name because I don't like him. His name is BJ Butler, right?
So, oh, no.
He came to the con. Of course, he came late. And I said, if somebody comes late, they're going to go on first, okay? Well, then he came before I had drawn the numbers, so I was pissed off. So I was like, all right, fine. So I draw the numbers. Hey, he's first. Perfect. Beautiful, because I don't like the guy for coming late, right? He didn't bring anybody. I know J.L. Covan loves that, but he didn't bring anybody, and he won the time before. So here he is now at this thing, and I go, all right, well, you know, it's half audience votes, but the only people that can vote, according to Chip, were people that came with these flyers specifically to see somebody. They're the only people who are allowed to vote. And the guy goes, I was supposed to bring people? I go, what? I go, I sent an email to you saying, yeah. He goes, yeah, but I just thought I had to bring X number of people, the minimum, so I could get on stage. I go, what would make you think that? I sent you an email. So this guy's trying to cause problems as if somehow
in front of everyone.
I've let him down. Right. And I go, hey. I go, I sent you an email that said this contest is 50% audience voting and 50% judges. Now, you're going to sit here and hear in front of every other comic and act like you didn't know that, even though I specifically told you the last time you were here that if you didn't bring anybody this time, you weren't going to win. So I've already had two conversations with you, this being the third conversation, and in front of all these people, you're going to act like you didn't hear that? I just completely called this motherfucker out.
So you're legitimately angry.
Oh, I'm pissed. Right. Don't try to call me out. Don't try to do that. So, of course, he's like, oh, whatever. And then he went up there, and, of course, he went first, so he didn't do well, and I was happy. Because, look, you need to ingratiate. Look, there's two ways to get work here, one in comedy. One is to be funny, and the other one is to be easy to work with. Sometimes people are so easy to work with, I'm going to mention names, and are so likable that it doesn't matter whether or not they're funny. That happens a lot.
Or they just email the booker 1,000 times and finally he just breaks down and says, F it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that can happen too, but that's not going to help you continue to get work because that's one of those, and again, ingratiate yourself to people, become friends with these people. That's the reason I don't work the improv is because I don't have any friends there. I don't. So I had an opportunity to get back in their good graces when I did that showcase. I didn't have an outstanding set, and as a result, I don't work there. Would say, yeah, well, we were talking about before, I really didn't have a chance, but it doesn't matter. I had to do better than I did, and it didn't work. It's a showcase, too, not a contest. So, you know, it's I feel like I had an opportunity to be funny. But at the end of the day, that's why I don't work there now. Do I want to work there? Yes. So I have to continue to be funny, but also maybe I need to endear myself to somebody who matters over there. And you can't do it by acting like a dick. Because you know how many BJ Butlers there are in the world? There's a billion of them. There's a billion BJ Butlers.
There's a billion. Is that the name of this episode? There's a billion BJ Butlers.
There's a billion of these guys. So you can't just come in and act that way, entitled, and act like you weren't told. You can't do that.
Don't worry, BJ Butler. You're in good company. I can also not work. I'm not allowed to work the Baltimore company.
Well, it's not a matter of whether or not he can work there.
Phoenix Rising can, but I.
Well, Phoenix Rising killed it. She's entitled to. She won a contest there, so she is entitled to work there. But BJ Butler, forget how funny he is or isn't funny. That's not the point. The point is that when you act that way, then you're never going to work the club. You're not going to work it. You have to be easy to work with. There's a million of you guys. I changed it from a billion to a million. I came down.
Phoenix, is she a big girl?
Yeah, she is. She had herself in a
combination that's pretty good in comedy. The big black woman is a. If you're gonna build a comic that you want to do well, that's someone that the crowds respond to, especially if she's gonna be sassy and talking about sex and not taking no shit.
Well, that's the thing. You're absolutely right. If you would have said, hey, tell me what she's going to talk about, I probably could have written her set word for word, but it worked. She got there, you know, she did the Wanda Sykes thing or whatever, and people loved her.
Yeah.
Because the idea of a lot of women, they sexualize their act. I'm not being critical of it, but they act like you're going to be shocked that a woman is talking about these things. Meanwhile, every woman is talking about it. There's nothing unique about it. Every single person from the funniest people like Amy Schumer to the bottom of the barrel, whoever's hanging out at these open mic nights or whatever, they're all talking about that. It's not a special thing, but because she's doing it, but she also doesn't look like a super like hot supermodel chick. And that's what the allure is, because women are threatened by hot chicks who talk about sex. That bothers them.
You think really think that?
Oh, I definitely think women are catty. They are. Now, not all women, but a lot of women are. So what happens is a woman will go up there and she'll be overtly sexual, but she'll also be good looking. If a woman, like, she doesn't deprecate herself, but she acts like people are beneath her and she's better, hotter than them and all that stuff, then it's hard. Then you lose half the audience. You lose the women in the audience. And then if you're men, you can't be cracking up at this stuff if your girls are mad. You follow what I'm saying?
No, I get that. It is interesting that a large woman can talk about sex and it'll be funny. But if it's some big fat guy's talking real dirty sexual stuff, it's like, ugh, dude, you're a pig, you know?
Like, well, I will say that on Facebook today, Chris Restivo says he had the penis the size of a black guy. That's what he said on Facebook today.
A black baby, maybe.
Hey, I wouldn't even mind a black baby if that's available.
What would you, all right, would you, so the, right now you'd trade penis sizes with some random 14-year-old black kid?
Oh, hell yeah. Are you kidding me? 14? Yes. 100%. 14's actually perfect.
What about 13? Sight unseen. You just got to swap. I mean, you still get white. It's going to be your color, but you get the size.
13? I don't get, I get so my color, the their size. 13's dicey because they could be, it's random. I just get the random. It's just a random one. Nobody else gets to pick. It's just random.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
12.
Nah. Then you're talking about pre-puberty. Once you get past that.
All right.
I can't say the name, but
I'll start a GoFundMe.
I can't say this name, but when I was in middle school, nobody showered in gym, nobody, but one guy. Mm-hmm. There was one guy, I'm not going to say his name. And I remember looking in there at this fire hose going, is that what I'm going to get to? Is that going to happen for me? Like, I thought that's just what it grew to. But no, that was just this guy, this eighth grade man who was in there showering with a 14-inch flaccid penis.
Do you figure out where you're at in terms of size? Because... you watch porno and you realize clearly that that's not accurate. And it's not like you're walking around seeing a bunch of erect dudes all the time. So you're really just relying on what women say and what you might think. But at what point do you feel like you're pretty secure in knowing where you line up?
Well, when you have a girlfriend and you keep her, then that's when you know you're doing okay. You know what I mean? All right, you made it.
Well, she might not know. She's young. I mean, how does she know?
I mean, I
feel like you're like 32 before you realize, oh, that's what everyone says.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Because people lie. That's the thing that guys lie about. They're young. They're huge. They're this. I lied about like being a virgin. I said I had had sex before, like 2 years before I ever had.
I definitely. The first time I had sex, I pretended that I had had sex before.
Yeah, see, I didn't. The girl, it was my girlfriend. She knew. But she wasn't a virgin, and that always bothered me.
Oh, not really? Well, yeah, it bothers you now, but if you knew now what you knew then, you'd have been thrilled, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Yeah, I guess you're right. Well, I kind of feel like if it's both your first time, there's that you neither one of you know what you're doing. So.
Yeah, but it's miserable the first time for a girl. For a guy, it's brief. For a girl, it's miserable.
Okay, but I'm not trying for it to be good. I just want to get it over with.
I understand that, yeah.
Clear that hurdle. But because her ex-boyfriend, who I knew, we were the same age, but he had a beard.
And you just knew he had been killing it.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even grow a beard. This guy has a beard. He's banged my girlfriend. That was a
this guy bested you in every way. What was his name?
Way.
What was that guy's name?
I don't remember his name, but he had a younger brother who was also huge. Maybe they might have just been dumb and been held back a few years. But they were both just like, they were like farm boy big, that kind of guy.
You know, there were a couple of those in my school too.
Robbie, when did you realize that you had a huge hog?
What?
Never mind. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Robbie will add nothing. Rob and Joe, show, be right back.
Hey, it's Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show on 98 Rock. Never forget, my name goes first. I'm taking part in a new live, interactive, hilarious comedy whodunit from the minds of Rob and Joe. It's called The Last Laugh, where I'm the star, as I should be. I play multiple roles. I play a comedian, a real piece of crap, a detective who's not good at his job, a fat girl in a wheelchair, Optimus Prime, and Mr. T's mustache. Come check it out, and maybe, just maybe, you can join us on stage. It's going to be incredible. Come see it.
Next performance, August 8th at Two Rivers in Pasadena, Maryland. Tickets on sale now. For upcoming show dates and more info, visit facebook.com/dielaughingproductions or robinjoe.com.
The Rob and Joe Show.
And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
So you know I go to Coco Lane a lot. It's the open mic here, right here in Ellicott City. And it's, for the most part, it's a really young audience. It's a lot of 20-somethings, and some of them even 22, 21. And I'm usually the oldest person in there, other than a few comics. And sometimes you tell a joke, and you realize how old and dated it is. I have a joke that's – this is how old this joke is. The first punchline, it was about leaving a porno in the VCR.
Oh.
And your girlfriend – discovers it. And then I realize, well, that's this old joke. I got to say DVD player. So then last night, I haven't told this joke in years. And I'm like, not last night, but Wednesday night. And I'm like, let's throw this one out. And I say, you ever leave the porno in the DVD player? And they're all like, DVD player?
I know. That's so funny.
And then I realize, though, I just changed it to like on the computer and the joke still worked.
Yeah, yeah.
So I should write new jokes is the point of that. But it still works. The joke still works if I just update the form of watching porn.
Yeah, I mean, I watch it on my phone. I don't even watch it on my computer.
Yeah, the point of the joke is that your girlfriend catches it, and then the problem is it's always left off like where you finish. So then she has to say, give you the speech, like, is that what you want me to do? And then you have to be like, well, yeah, actually, I do. That's sort of the gist of the joke. But I did write a brand new joke this week, speaking of penises and erections.
I didn't write a new joke, but I have a new premise.
Well, mine's sort of halfway written out, but I used to be able to tell if a joke was funny right off the bat, and now I don't have that confidence anymore. Can you tell before it happens?
No, I can never tell. It's so funny because people that aren't in comedy think, oh, you just write a joke and then you tell it. No, they usually fail, which is strange, you know, but then you try to you wring them out. And then eventually they become a fully realized joke. But it's hard to do that. It takes time to get that done.
Well, most of my jokes, they've worked right away. Most of the ones that I do. Obviously, there's more that have never worked, and therefore I don't do them. But the premise of this joke is a couple things. It's that I can't dance. And I think the reason why is because when I started dancing, like in high school, I would dance with girls, and I always have an erection. And it's hard to dance with an erection. And therefore, it's like muscle memory. You can't, and I'd act it out. It looks stupid.
With your one leg straight or whatever.
Right.
Whatever.
And then the second part is, that's sort of funny, right? Is like, I don't know why, as a guy, you would be embarrassed that you had an erection. Because that's a compliment. I mean, that's letting the girl know you find her attractive. I mean, it can't lie. That's an honest moment. So you should.
Yes, you're right. It's like a truth serum.
Right. So she should say thank you, really. So that's the gist of it. But I think it'll be funny, but I don't know. I'll let you guys know next week.
All right, here's my premise. I actually thought of it when you and I were sitting together at the Ferndale Tavern.
With that old lady with the boob job?
Yeah, maybe we should mention her, not her name, but because I guarantee you people know her because my new landlord Dave, knew her. As soon as I told the story that a 60-year-old woman had giant boobs, he's like, oh, and he said her name.
Not just like, giant boobs. She's wearing an outfit that shows off her giant boobs. Like,
yeah.
She's so proud of them.
It's if you go to this place, you'll see her. You'll see that
you'll
she
know
exists.
Yeah.
Yes. But anyway, my premise was, none of them made us think of it, but like if you didn't have your wallet, you know, if you watch like old TV shows or old movies, if you can't pay for your meal, they make you wash dishes. And I was sitting there thinking, well, you know, if you went out to eat and you couldn't pay the bill and you were like, well, I'll just wash dishes. Like, no, we have some kid back there. He makes $5 an hour. He's washing the dishes. Your bill is $60.
Yeah, that's probably their weak budget.
Hire you?
Yeah, they probably spend $60 a week on dishwashers. You're supposed to not.
Yeah, yes, and my meal's probably $60. I say, no, the manager. I have to be the manager. He's the only one at the pay scale where, you know, I have to be there a couple of hours. I'm writing out the schedule. I'm giving people their, hey, clean up section 9, Tina. Can you do that thing?
You know what that sounds like? It sounds like when Seinfeld, when they were doing the writing their sitcom, they're coming with ideas. And they had the butler, like he gets in a car accident. That could have been like a premise. Like George can't pay the bill. Now he has to be the manager for a day. It seems like something they would have pitched.
What do you think, Robbie? Do you like either one of these premi?
Yes.
Do you want which one do you like better, Robbie?
Yeah, which one do you like better?
I think I like Joe's.
Dick. Of course. Oh, of course.
Now, by that time, I think my premise was better. That doesn't mean it's going to be a better joke. You know me, I'll never tell it, and that'll be the end of it. And you'll actually make yours into a joke and ring it out, and it'll be great.
No, but I just think the premise. My premise is better. But you told more. You basically did the whole joke. You gave more of it. See, the problem with your premise is there are people under 30 that they don't even, they probably never even heard of that concept, that you'd wash dishes.
Yeah, I should ask Katie if she's ever heard of the idea of.
Yeah.
Hey, she's downstairs listening to the show. So, Katie, when you hear this part of the show, if you've ever heard of people washing dishes to pay their bill, yell up the stairs yes or no.
But high school kids in puberty trying to hide their erections from girls while dancing, that's timeless.
Yeah, no, everybody's heard of it. Yes, no, everybody's heard of that.
Yeah.
All right. I don't have her. There's no yelling yet. She must not be listening to the show.
Hey, tonight we're doing something different. And that's, we have Marcus Sturda. He's actually here on with us. He's recording it from his end with his better quality equipment, which will make our show sound better on the Moore Network. It's tempting to know that Marcus is there, but we're not talking to him.
Sorry, Katie's yelling up the stairs that she saw it in a movie.
Oh, she saw it in a movie.
It was a black and white. It was a black and white movie.
Well, Marcus, are you there? Can we talk to you for a second? Or is that going
to
mess
up? If you want to, but I thought Robbie sounded better than everybody.
Well, Robbie's got a sexy voice. Which premise did you like better?
I would have to go with Rob.
Yes! Hey, is Mermelstein there? Can you get him?
Yes, can we have a tiebreaker?
No. Oh, Mermelstein.
What if Mermelstein was there, by the way?
Mermelstein said that Rob's is better.
Oh. Yes, I win. All right. Thank you, Marcus, the new producer of the Rob and Joe Show.
If Mermelstein was there, would this automatically make best of year five? If within 10 seconds, Mermelstein is on the mic. By the way, for those, there might be people that are listening who don't know who Mermelstein is.
Or Marcus Sturda.
So Marcus Sturda runs what would you call it, like a highlight show for the Moore Network? Is that a fair way to say it, Marcus?
Yeah, it's kind of a geek out show. The fans of Moore Broadcasting, including your show, come on my show. We geek out over clips from the last week. So we kind of do a review of the last week, but at the same time, you get to learn about who these fans are that come into your chat room, for instance. I'd love to get Eric the Actor on my show.
Good luck.
He won't do it. He likes to remain anonymous. He doesn't want anybody to know who he is.
Well, I'll get Mac on the show at least.
Now, that would be good. We'd like to get Mac on, yeah.
Do you think every highlight that Marcus uses moving forward is one that he's in? Do you think this right here makes the makes Omericast?
Well, and Mermelstein is usually your co-host. And you both live up in the Vermont area. And Mermelstein is a very nice guy, but I don't think he listens to our show. Because what you'll do is you'll play a clip, Marcus. You'll have an opinion on that clip. And then you'll say, Steve, what do you think? He goes, whatever you think. And he'll just add, and then move. And then it's about like Tech 401. He'll talk for 20 minutes about it.
So how about this? This is what happens. At the beginning of the clip, whatever he goes, this week on the Rob and Joe show, Joe did blah, 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 blah. And then he'll go, Steve, did you get a chance to listen? He goes, no. Every time. I've never heard him say yes. Am I right, Marcus? Has he ever actually listened to our show?
He has actually listened, but he doesn't listen very closely. And usually if he is tight on time, yours is the one that gets dropped from his list. So
yeah. Why is our show his least? He would listen to It's Mickey right now. He listens to old archived episodes of It's Mickey before he listens to our show. Our show's good, Marcus. What's his? He just doesn't like us?
Well, his number one show is Cake and Cookies, and then he gets in the Mike O'Mara show, and then everything else is fodder. Who knows if he'll listen to it or not? But at the same time, I know you guys are used to listening to Mermelstein on my show, but the show has just taken a bit of a shift, and based on Steve's schedule and just a change in show dynamics, and so we're going to get other fans on the show, and we're going to get back to meeting different
fans. Oh, I can't believe Mermelstein's not available.
Well, how about
horrible?
If you want him to be available, I'll have him here next Monday night.
No, that's okay. We're good.
I tell you, how about this? We replace Mermelstein with Restivo. Okay, that's not going to work.
I'll give you one. I'll give Chris Restivo one opportunity to be on Omericast, and he can come.
He's in chat. He's going to love it.
By the way, he thinks that you're Mike O'Mara, and he thinks the O'Mara cast is the Mike O'Mara. He probably thinks Mermelstein is Don.
Well, then I look forward to talking to him, and like a Mike O'Mara would.
Yeah, he probably thinks Mermelstein is Howard Stern.
You're on 106.7 Guy Talk. You're geared up for the Redskins. They're in the Super Bowl against the Dolphins. Just take him in a time machine. He won't know what's going on.
Can I talk about my move?
Yeah, you can talk about your move, Joe.
So, I moved in with, I have a new landlord Dave.
Yeah.
And so I just came here this weekend. I just moved. So Friday and Saturday and Sunday, those were the days. You know, Dave, he was never home, okay?
Yeah. But Dave has kids, right?
His kids were home. So, I have to meet, I'm walking, what's the word I'm looking for?
They're high school kids, right?
It's a lot to walk into somebody's home. They live here. I'm like, hey, it's me. I live here now. You know, Dave needs to be here to kind of smooth that over, right? He can't just let me walk in and be like, hey, we live together now. You know what I mean?
How old are these kids?
He need to be there to buffer that?
Well, it's Dave. No, yes, but knowing Dave, he's not going to care about that. How old are these kids?
One is 19 and one is 15. And you can tell they're like the coolest kids in school.
Well, you know what's going to happen. They're going to try to have sex with Katie.
No, they're not going to try. Matter of fact, I even was talking to the youngest one. I said, hey, these hands off. All right. I set down the rules right away.
Oh, okay. Because 19-year-olds are known for following rules.
Well, this is a 15-year-old. I think he'll respect that.
But the 19-year-old and Katie, it does make more sense than you and Katie.
No, I don't think so, does it?
Yes, it does, Joe. I'm not saying it makes perfect sense. Katie is the kind of girl that would date older, but, you know, like 32, not 40.
Yeah, yeah. And they listen to loud music, which I don't care. You know, I like it. I like when people try to kill it, but it's new rap. I hate it. See what I'm saying? Like loud music. I like that. I like being in the house where that's going on. But genre issues. You follow what I'm saying?
See, living with Tawana and I would have been completely different because there wouldn't have been loud music. There wouldn't have been teenagers. But there wouldn't be like wild parties and craziness either. So that's what you're weighing, Joe.
It says in chat here, shitty cat is better than teenagers. And I don't think Cabin Cupcake has any idea about how bad this cat was, but.
No, even if he doesn't, I'm going with Captain Cupcake. A bad cat. Teenagers, I mean, come on. That's, you don't want to be around teenagers. Because at least like a 7-year-old is going to go to bed early.
No, but I'm telling you, they're not like regular teenagers. They're, you know, they're worldly.
Joe, they can be good teenagers, but they're listening to music you know nothing about, have no interest.
No, you're right about that, but that's just one small thing.
You know they're not going to want you hanging around. It's going to be weird for them.
Well, dude, I have the whole upstairs. I have my own
downstairs apartment. Trying to be cool and stuff.
No, I might
on the Ravens
that.
Post game, guys. Like, whatever.
Yeah, you're right. I might try to endear myself. I'm really telling Dave that there's an arc of how they're going to view me. Like right now, I'm just some old dork that fucking moved in, right?
Yeah.
But then they're like, oh, this guy's a comic. Oh, he's on 90 Rock. Then I'm going to grow in their eyes. You follow what I'm saying? And then after they said, oh, and then they're going to realize, oh, no, he's just that same guy we thought he was before. You follow? So there's going to be an arc of what they think of me that starts low and ends low.
There is going to be the arc, but once they start to think that you're cooler than they originally thought, they're going to be asking to buy them alcohol and stuff and. They're underage.
I have a feeling they got their own sources. That's my guess, but, you know, I'm just...
Yeah, but as convenient as right there, you're upstairs. Hey, Joe, can you run to the liquor store? That's going to happen.
Hey, Katie says they're listening to the show.
I like them.
No, they don't give a shit about me. They're not listening to the show.
You know how old, though,
we are to them. Remember it when we were 15, 16? Someone in there that was almost 50 was ancient.
Oh, God. I seriously, they think friggin' Wilford Brimley moved in the house. They think, yeah, they're like, they can't believe I can get up the stairs.
By the way, Wilford Brimley was probably only like 50 when we watched Cocoon.
Yes, it was a movie
it's
about
Robbie's age.
Well, they were my age, yes.
Is there going to be a big party where like everyone, like their high school friends are going to be there? Your friends are going to be there? It's going to be a big.
Oh, yeah, we should do that.
Because all the worlds collide. Yeah.
Write them in.
Okay. Robbie, you going to go to Joe's party?
Yeah.
Should we stop asking Robbie questions?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. Joe, would you let Katie go to the prom with one of these kids to make them cool?
Sure. Yeah, as long as they come back. I mean, you know, she's got to come back. She can't stay out all night.
Fair enough. It's a big night for Robbie tonight. I don't know why he's not really paying attention, Joe. Tonight is the finale of The Bachelorette.
Yeah, I already know who wins.
What? Don't say anything. Right. Did Robbie go to that website and cheat again?
Do you know, Robbie?
I don't know who won. I am going to try to. I can't watch it tonight because I have to watch it with my girlfriend, and we don't stay up that late. And so we'll be watching it sometime tomorrow evening. So I have to avoid all social media tomorrow.
Wow, that's going to be tough.
I will not
Everyone's
answer.
Going to be
you
talking
described
about
two guys last week. One was a guy who came in. You called him like a Svengali, and then another guy was like a guy who was like a workout guy.
Yeah, personal trainer okay. dude.
So those are the two guys. You guys want to guess? I won't reveal, but you want to take a guess?
I think that she went for the hipster Svengali
yeah.
cool guy.
I think she goes for Nick too.
That's the Svengali?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, Robbie, you didn't do the fantasy league this year, did you?
I told you they wouldn't let me in.
That's right. Joe is refusing. He wants out of the fantasy league that I run, Robbie.
Yeah, he's busy.
Yeah, nobody cares about that.
He's busy and
people don't care if I'm in your fantasy league.
No,
there's
I want
12 teams.
Well, there is now. There used to be 14 until you dropped out and someone else followed suit.
Joe's life is a nonstop party now. He invites people over on show night.
He's got 16-year-olds and stuff.
Yeah, but there's a lot going on here, Robbie.
Hey, are you gonna let him watch R-rated movies and stuff, Joe?
They're watching those. I think they're watching those movies.
You're going to show them where the porn is on web websites to go to? You're going to teach them how to put a condom on?
I don't think there's anything I can teach them. I think they know everything.
Are you teaching them how to tie women up in beds and stuff?
They don't know all the knots, but I'm sure, you know, they know about that, the existence of that.
Are you going to tell the stories about your losing your virginity with the shirt off and the?
I can't tell these kids that.
The
coolest
the black
kids
girl
in school. I can't let them know that's what I was like. I can't do that.
Tell the Camry story.
Yeah,
I can't tell these stories. That's a Tercel story, by the way, not Camry.
I said Tercel. I don't know. Is this better? I think this is a drop off from Phil's, Joe.
Yeah, but my facility is so much nicer.
Yeah, I know. You got a little loft. You got your own bathroom. It's cool.
Yeah, dude. No, I got everything up here. I got my own bathroom. I got a couple of places for the kids to sleep when they hang out. I got a desk. I'm sitting at my desk right now doing this broadcast.
Oh, yeah. We have new internet. How's it sounding, Robbie? Is it sounding good?
I don't notice a difference, which is a good thing.
Okay.
The only thing that's bad is I don't have a closet. Is that important?
Nah.
Did you buy an armoire, Joe?
No, I bought one of these things that you hang. You know, you just hang, like, what do you call it? Like a portable closet or whatever. You can just hang stuff up. But this is how, like, I'm not the guy. I come over and Dave's like, hey, you want to just look at the place? I go, yes. They bring it up here and it's beautiful. I'm like, God, this is awesome. I didn't even know there was a bathroom up here. So if you think about that, I was like, I guess I'm just going to go downstairs and shower. No, I have my own bathroom. I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
but I also, so I didn't notice there was a bathroom and I didn't notice that I didn't have a closet. Now, I don't care about it. I mean, obviously, I'm excited about the bathroom.
No, having your own bathroom is huge.
Oh, man. It's great.
Because that's the worst thing. And life is sharing a bathroom with a dude.
And Dave is the cleanest person. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to text you a picture of Dave's gutter. This is his gutter.
Okay.
Okay?
We'll put that on Robin Show Show on our Facebook and Twitter. Everyone can look at Dave's gutter.
No, but the point is that who's this clean? I got to find it. Sorry. Yeah. Keep talking while I find this
keep
gutter.
Talking. Hey, did we talk about Mickey yet? Did we do that?
No, let's do it. Should we take a break first and come back and talk about him?
Let's take a break. Some Mickey Coachella news. Robin Josh, I'll be right back.
Hey, it's Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show on 98 Rock. Never forget, my name goes first. I'm taking part in a new live, interactive, hilarious comedy whodunit from the minds of Rob and Joe. It's called The Last Laugh, where I'm the star, as I should be. I play multiple roles. I play a comedian, a real piece of crap, a detective who's not good at his job, a fat girl in a wheelchair, Optimus Prime, and Mr. T's mustache. Come check it out, and maybe, just maybe, you can join us on stage. It's going to be incredible. Come see it.
Next performance, August 8th at Two Rivers in Pasadena, Maryland. Tickets on sale now. For upcoming show dates and more info, visit facebook.com/dielaughingproductions or robinjoe.com.
And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
So our buddy Mickey, last week we heard from him, he exploded his leg. Leg's on fire. Guess, did we talk about that? We did talk about that, right?
Yep.
He had a vape battery accident, split it in his pants, and he's in the hospital. But now he got some good news. For the remainder of the summer through early September, you can hear him every weeknight from 7 to midnight on 198 Rock in Baltimore. He's come home.
I don't understand that. I don't understand the summer job. It's confusing to me.
No, maybe they want to see how it works out.
They have a decade of broadcasting from him.
I agree. You kind of know.
But you think it's because of some issue that sits outside of his ability to be funny or to be listened to?
I don't know. Mickey, he's always a wild card. We know that. We look at his It's Mickey broadcasts, or lack thereof. So I guess he'll have 5 weeks. So, or is it? How many? Yeah, six. Call it 6 weeks, probably. So that's 30 days. How many do you think he'll do all 30?
I got to imagine that if he's ever going to do all of the broadcasts, it's going to be during this time. Right? I got to imagine.
People think we'll show up. It'll be Anthony Davis and Robert Andrew.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go 3 months between, you know. Here's yes, it's for the summer, but it's one show per summer for the next 30 years.
Congrats, Mickey. We're happy.
Marcus Serta, by the way, Marcus, if you have a question for me, you can just ask it.
Well, I'm not part of the show, remember? It's you.
I understand that, okay. But if you're going to address me directly, then you should just jump in and ask the question.
All right, then let me just confront you. I mean, are you jealous? Because this could have been a gig that you're doing. You're just doing one show on 98 Rock now.
Yeah, of course I'm jealous, but he's a friend. But yes, I mean, are you saying would I like to have been offered that? Yes. Am I jealous? Yes, of course I am. I am jealous. But, you know, I mean, Mickey was the host of the morning show for, you know, it was 8 years or whatever. And I had my own show at nights for one year. So we're not, you follow what I'm saying? We're not the same. But yes, you know, also I'm also jealous of Bill Gates.
They often get compared, Mickey and Bill Gates. Well, would you go on, and same question for me, I guess, if Mickey said come on the night show and mess around with me and just hang out one night, would you come on?
Of course. Whatever Mickey asked me to do, I would do.
But doesn't that make his show better? Then they're like, well, we're getting Joe without having to pay him.
Well, I would do that for him, yes. Does it make his show better? I hope it does.
Can I ask a bigger question based on a conversation you guys had in a previous show? If mm-hmm. Mickey asked Joe to be on the show, so it became the Mickey and Joe show on 98 Rock, Joe, would you even bother asking whether or not they can bring Rob on?
Yeah, well, I always ask if they can bring Rob, but I wouldn't if there was already another host. But Rob knows. I mean, yeah. You know, we joke around on here, but when I'm offered a position, when I'm offered anything, I always try to drag Rob along so much. So you might not be familiar with this, but I used to do in rotation nights on the AM station, WBAL. I used to do this thing called, what was it called? 1090 at Night. That's what it was called. Mm-hmm. And it was me and a bullpen of DJs or whatever you want to call them, hosts. And the first show I did, I included Rob, meaning he just came on and did it with
me. Studio. Yeah.
In studio, meaning I wasn't given permission to do that, and I brought him in. After that, the program director said, all right, you did what you wanted to do. Now will you do the show that I'm asking you to do? I said, no problem. And I did that show until I called Rob, and I talked to him for an hour. So that also happened on the second show. He sounded like he was underwater, but I wouldn't hang up. I kept on going.
But again, that isn't as much about you trying to hook me. It's about you trying to fill time on the 4 hours.
Completely not true. You know, the first show, you know that's not true. The first show that we did together, I barely asked permission. I mean, barely.
Right.
And I brought him on in order to do this. But, you know,
well, same thing with the draft show. He kind of brought me on.
Yeah, that's true. And this one is a little bit different. I won't just wedge Rob on the air, but Rob is going to help me produce all the content. And then there's going to be two segments that are going to be that we have to do with Rob. One is going to be where I call a celebrity who breaks down the game, and it's just going to be Rob every time. But let's say, for example, he's Michelle Obama. You know, he'll be like, hey, I'm sitting in the Oval Office, you know, and blah, blah, whatever. She, you know, still saying things specific to whatever that character is, but in his own voice. Rob will do that. And then we're going to do a bit that we used to do from the old show, the Mad Libs, and Rob will do that with me.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to that, but I've sort of resigned myself to the fact that it's just me and 98 Rock are never going to have anything serious.
Well, what do you mean? I mean, you've been away on their spring fling, what, three times, right?
No, I've more than proven myself. I mean,
yeah, you've been on the air a lot there, and this program director is new, and hopefully, you know, they'll see. You know,
no, I'm not going to act any different. I'm going to still try to, whenever I'm on there, always be hilarious and kick ass. It's not going to change how I approach things. It's just my, you know, it's like I've got enough film on tape here if it's like a sporting event. Like if you're not going to draft me, you've seen enough. Like we went to spring fling. We organized bits. We walked around all day filming. We were in Cancun, Joe and I, first time we're there. We had a bit that we did. We had listeners that we'd ask them questions about U.S. history, and then we'd ask the same questions to the help, who were obviously.
Yeah, I forgot. That was really funny.
And now we would cheat it and give the locals the right answers, but it was funny because the listeners, what's the capital of Maryland? Then Baltimore. They're getting it wrong. You know, who's the first president of the United States? Half of them are getting it wrong. We ask Hector, who could barely speak English, and he gets the right answer. Hilarious. It never aired, but I'm like, all right, we're doing this. The next time we're there, I come up with an idea. Spiegel speed dating, a whole segment. Listeners, it combines the listeners. It combines Josh. They go on speed dating. Hilarious. The next time on there, I get naked. I walk into a girl's room. They name it the funniest thing that's ever happened on the station, okay? And so we do a show. I did a whole segment, the newlywed, not so newlywed game, a half hour segment, killed.
Hey, you remember who won?
You and your all the couples are now separated or divorced.
Yes, but I won along with my wife at the time. We were the winner.
Yes, but it was you and your wife, Mickey and his wife, and it was Steve Huber and his wife, and all are no longer together.
Oh yeah.
But my point is, I've shown up. I've produced ideas. I've come with ideas. They've worked. I've saw them through. I've organized. It's like this is who I am. All I can do is repeat that same shit and be just as good as that. And if that's not enough, then that's okay. I mean, I love going on there. I don't go on there to get something out of it. I enjoy it. So just on the surface, that's all I really need.
Well, the decision maker is a completely different person.
No, I realize that.
And you haven't been on the air that many times since this new decision maker came in. And he also listened to our show one time. Remember, it was basically the worst show he could possibly have listened to.
Yeah. Well, you know, that does bother me, but.
Don't read chat unless you want to flip out. I'm just telling you that right now. Don't read.
What are they saying?
Is it odd to think that Rob is too smart for 98 Rock? We're talking about Baltimore. One issue is Rob knows nothing about rock music.
Well, that is true. I don't. You're right.
I thought you wouldn't like that.
I don't know anything about rock music. I don't know anything about contemporary music, pretty much.
What else? Eric the actor said, can Rob name two Metallica members? I bet you can.
James Hetfield and the Lars guy.
Yep, Ulrich.
Yeah. Well, I've already said I don't know. I don't know that, but that's...
By the way, those are the only two I know.
You realize that that's the easy part of being on the radio is knowing that shit. Like, anybody could do that.
Should I say this?
That's not a skill to memorize... Fucking rock musicians.
Yeah, I don't like Metallica. I'm not a big Metallica fan. I recognize their genius. I recognize their place, but it's just not my sound.
I like
Enter Sandman. I like, you know,
like one.
Like For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Yeah. You know, someone on our Facebook this week said that they think that Led Zeppelin is not a great band, because I said that last week.
Who said that?
I forget his name, but it was. He said that they were basically a cover band.
Yeah, they were. Here's why. Robbie, what's the name of the act? They were actually sued by this act and had to pay royalties to them for maybe lifting some material from them. Of course, you know, they put out, what, 9 or 10 albums. And so this band has, like, you know, what, 4 songs that sound, that look like they might have been lifted, but whatever. What's the name of that band, Robbie?
I'm not sure who you're talking about.
Well, you told me about it, the band that Led Zeppelin allegedly plagiarized from.
Was it the Small Faces?
Oh, is that what he's referring to? I didn't know what he was talking about.
Yeah. So.
I mean, I'm just happy he's listening. I don't really care if he disagrees. Speaking of listening, someone on Facebook, our friend of ours, I don't know him personally, but he says, anyone know any good science-based podcasts? Then Joe, you say The Rob and Joe Show. He says, way ahead of you, he starts downloading them. How long into it does he realize that this is not a science-based podcast? Does he make it through the intro? That's my question.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we could ask him.
Because last week, the very first episode we did was Mary F. Kill with Robbie with furniture.
Okay. Oh, God. I hate our listeners. Captain Cupcake, Joe thinks Leonard Skinner is great, but Metallica is no good. Exactly the opposite of what I said. No good is what they got out of this. God, I just, okay, enough. I'm turning it off. Continue.
That is the way people talk now and argue on Facebook. They take your opinion to some extreme place and then make fun of it when you never said that at all.
That's also the way that the world works. Because think about how people run for office. Everybody's a villain or a hero. You understand? Whoever you decide you're going to vote for, not you, but you say, all right, I'm going to vote for this person. Oh, and well, then this other person is a piece of shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's what they always do. Oh, and then they always find something to label them. You know, George Bush was an idiot, and Bill Clinton was, you know, not trustworthy and slick, and you know, whatever. They always say, you hear Restivo, good Lord. You read the stuff he writes about Barack Obama online or whatever.
He's not a normal person.
But it's just, you know, we can temper these things, right? Somebody doesn't have to be Satan and somebody's Jesus. It doesn't work like that.
No, that's the way it works now. That's how everyone's a villain. Everyone is on a side. You can't disagree anymore. Agree to disagree. It's always, well, you think that, then you're an awful person.
Well, that's what happens a lot on Facebook, especially because a lot of my opinions aren't, there's a utopian idea and then there's the other idea. Everybody likes utopian, right? I want that.
Sure.
I want peace and I want everybody to eat and I want everybody to have health care. I'm like, I want these things. But then if you ever try to have like a conversation just where you say, all right, well, what about this and what about that? You're being the worst person alive. The big thing now is the Confederate flag, which I don't know anything about. But I wouldn't even touch that with a 10-foot pole, because if you defend anything, you're a racist. You understand?
Right.
If you defend the police officers, you're a racist. If you defend, I don't even look into that because I don't want to have sympathy for the other side, because I don't want to be on Facebook saying, well, what about this? Because then I go, oh, that guy's, he's a Klansman.
Well, that's, I take issue with it. We have to be on sides. I'm not on the cop's side. I'm not on black people's side. Every situation's different. I mean,
real quick, Chris Restivo just said in chat, it's not my fault that Michelle is a man. He just called Michelle Obama a transvestite in our chat.
I think Michelle is an attractive woman. She's working out. She's in shape. I like her. I like her arms.
She's clearly not a man. Okay, enough, Chris. Stop with this, please.
Yeah. I think we can. That you can't count Restivo as an actual person. It's debating. We're about to get serious. Let's get off that. Hulk Hogan says the N-word. He's now the WWE has taken. They've just act like he never existed.
Yeah,
but isn't Hulk Hogan is a character? That's not. It's like Dr. Huxtable can still be a nice guy. It's different than Bill Cosby.
Right. You know, actors have been just horrible people, and then they portray these other characters, and we are all okay with it.
Yeah, no matter what Robert Downey Jr. does, Iron Man is still awesome.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, and I know I'm going to – I don't know how it's going to come across, but that's one of the things where now we just fire everybody, right? And yeah. I always say, you know, if you opened up somebody's closet or you listened to – you looked into somebody's life and looked at the worst thing they ever did, everybody would be like – everybody would be despicable. Everybody said something or done something that if it was made known publicly, they wouldn't be employable. But what we do is we find out about what he said in the privacy, and then we're like, well, let's fire him. Yeah, that's despicable. I get that. But we are so quick to fire people. I'm not, again, I know I'm going to come across like I'm defending it. I'm not. I'm arguing the act of immediately firing everybody immediately when something right. is disclosed. Right? I guess we just assume that none of this stuff is happening. But also, what do we do? These people can't, and again, this isn't the case of Hulk Hogan, but I guess if you have a, you're in a business and somebody screws up, whatever it is, they do something that human resources has a problem with and now they're fired. So now, because they made a mistake that every other person has made, their family suffers. You see what I'm saying? They don't eat, they can't pay their mortgage. Like, what happens now?
Right.
And is that what we decide the consequences are? We just want to fire people. Now, I read this, what Hulk Hogan wrote, and it's bad. It's super bad.
Of course
bad.
It's bad. I don't so have a problem with them no longer using him, but why do they have – he can still exist on their website. I mean, come on. We know Hulk Hogan, the Hulk – it was a character. It was huge in the 80s and 90s. Nothing has changed. He was a one-dimensional character. Say your prayers, eat your vitamins – and he'd wrestle you and win
and
the
hate
title.
Black people. That
yeah,
was
but it's not like it. No one was looking to him for any real guidance or support. It's not like he ever gave an opinion on anything.
Well, it's been a very, very, very long time since Hulk Hogan was relevant, so this might – it can't be helpful for his career. I remember – Gramps is not going to remember this, but I remember when O.J. killed his wife and the trial was happening. And I was arguing, Robbie might even have been on the other side, but I know I was arguing with both my parents, right? Mm-hmm. They were saying that OJ, when he was found innocent, would go right back into movies and be a big star. I said, no, he won't. That's not going to happen. Although, honestly, if somebody's found innocent of a crime, they should be able to go back and enter their life. Now, everybody knew that he wasn't innocent, and as a result, he wasn't marketable. But again, maybe that's an extreme. I don't want you to be able to kill somebody and get your job back. But I knew the whole time, as soon as your skeleton falls out of that closet, you're unemployable. Every once in a while, people overcome. Ray Lewis, Michael Vick, every once in a while, they overcome. But for the most part, that's all they ever talk about. It's scandalous, and they never work again.
Well, has Cosby, he has to have now overtake OJ in the biggest fall from grace.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean, it's not close. I mean, O.J. was never the biggest star in the world.
No.
But Bill Cosby was. Bill Cosby, the Cosby Show used to be the number one show on television. And that's when, you know, there weren't 3,000 channels. And he was the biggest star.
It was a groundbreaking TV show.
But not only that, he also was this pillar of integrity and morality.
Yes.
So there's that fall, too. It's like, yeah, Tiger Woods had a huge fall, but I always thought he was a dick. I never thought he was this great guy. He was a great winner.
Yeah. Mel Gibson had a fall, but he's,
Tiger Woods might be as big a fall as Cosby, right? But I have
No way close. No, people, no. Tiger's just unfaithful and kind of a, he's just kind
you're right.
Of
no, I get that. You're right. I'm not talking about what they... I'm not talking about what they were accused of. Obviously, raping somebody is worse than having
a mistress
agreed upon sex with right. out of wedlock. That's raping is much worse. We can all agree with that. But from being this great winner and the darling of media and all these endorsements, and then falling to where they are now, Tiger Woods doesn't have any endorsements. Neither does Bill Cosby. So,
but part of his fall, that is because his play has fallen off. If he was winning. I mean, I think the reason he doesn't have endorsements is because his play is, and he still has tight. He still has Nike, I think. It's because he's not any good anymore.
But you're right. I mean, he obviously lost. I mean, he's not doing Buick anymore. He's obviously whatever fast food he was doing, he's not doing anymore. I think Nike did pick him back up, but I bet if they're not, I bet if there's an out clause, they're out.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not just what he was. He's not just not what he was anymore. He's fucking horrible.
All right, well, who's on the Mount Rushmore of fall from grace?
Yeah, so you got Cosby, you got Woods. OJ. Robbie, you got any input? Robbie's not paying attention to the show.
OJ, Mel Gibson.
Gibson, yeah.
Eddie Arbuckle.
Who?
What did he do? What did Fatty Arbuckle do? Since nobody knows who that is, that can't be the biggest fall for it.
He was a huge silent film star.
That's right, exactly. We really can't count that.
And raped her with a Coke bottle.
Okay, well, there's about another billion people on the planet since then.
Yeah.
And now television and film is now accessible by about 8,000%. So.
Well, maybe with this breaking Omericast news, Steve Mermelstein will have the fall.
Yes, he was watching Americast. Now he's working.
Nowhere to be found. All right, let's do that. If anyone wants to give out your answer throughout the week on our Facebook page, at Robin Joe Show on Twitter, your Mount Rushmore of fall from grace.
Hey, I mean,
Cosby's clearly
number one. Yeah, I don't know that it's clear, but I think that he is.
No, come on, Joe. It's clear.
Well, I don't want you to talk about
the biggest serial rapist in the history of the world.
Okay, if we're talking about indiscretions, yes. But we're just talking about fall. I mean, Woods is in the conversation. He is, but you're right. Since he still has a Nike endorsement, it's hard to include him. So, okay, I'll get that.
Marv Albert bit a bunch of women, then he got his job back.
Yeah, he kind of landed on his feet.
Yeah, but didn't he bite them consensually?
it just got weird and freaky, yeah.
Can I throw in Mickey Coachella? Question.
Mickey Coachella.
Good point, yeah. It's Cosby, Coachella, Woods. Hey, here's a question. If Marcus tells Mermelstein that he's mentioned a lot on our show, do you think he'll listen or do you think he still won't listen?
No, he won't.
He won't listen. I think he'll go on Stitcher and he'll hit plus 30 seconds until he hears his name.
No, I think what he'll do is he'll listen to Cake and Cookies and then he'll listen to my Camaro show. Then he'll go and listen to last week's Cake and Cookies and the week before. And then if he has time.
And then he'll eat Cake and Cookies. And then he'll might listen. He'll listen to, he'll listen to 0 seconds. I think you're right. What if we name the show Mermelstein?
Hey, what if we name it Listen to This, Mermelstein? How much joy would it give you if instead of Hulk Hogan saying all those things, Mermelstein got caught? Wouldn't that be better?
Ah, Mermelstein.
What a great thing just to expose Mermelstein. Ah, it'd be so great.
Known racist, that Mermelstein.
Oh, I wish. Marcus, when the mics are off, you ever heard him say anything that you might think might be a little salty, something that people might have a problem with?
It's one of the hardships of having a friendship with that guy because all of the rest of my friends are very edgy. They'll say just about anything that'll come out of right off the brain, not even thinking through.
But he's vanilla.
He is so goody-goody. He's not that way, no.
He's 2% milk. He drives a Camry. I know Mermelstein.
Yep. No wonder he doesn't like our show because we are horrible people.
I'll even take him down the road of making Jewish jokes. I mean, he's Jewish, but he won't even make fun of his own tribe. Like, what the hell's up with that?
Well, that's Mermelstein for you. I didn't know he was Jewish. Who knew?
Mermelstein? No, I thought he was black.
That's the show. Listen this week. You'll hear it sound better. I'm telling you to listen.
I also want to apologize that we didn't. I also want to apologize that Rob didn't do a new voicemail. Because when I called you earlier today, I heard the old voicemail. And I'm like, we should probably get a new one just to piss off the people in chat.
You want me to do it right now?
Yeah, we got some time. Okay. Let's do it real quick.
Hey, Wanda's my phone over there.
So leave a message and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. And all will be right in the world. Thank you.
I happen to like that one, but...
Yeah, that's the current one, which is good.
Robbie doesn't like it.
I don't like the thank you at the end. It seems a little weird.
With thank you?
Nothing's wrong with thank you. It's almost like the way you say TMOS. For some reason, it just doesn't sound natural.
All right. All right.
You couldn't possibly be that sincere.
Fair enough.
Yes, he's right. We don't feel thanked when we hear that. It seems like bullshit.
All right. Shut up. I'm going to do it. Hey, it's Rob Mayer. I missed your call. Leave a message. You know the deal. That's it.
That's Save. It. Oh, that's Save. The worst one so far.
What? You said I'm being too friendly.
All right, leave that one on there, all right?
Call it right now.
Revisit this.
I want to hear how it sounds.
Okay, call it, Robbie.
Oh, my God.
This is good. This is best of.
I love the fact that you guys do so many bits.
That's us. We're all just cranking out bits.
This is specifically to piss off chat. Okay? Yeah. We're going to do this every week until they apologize.
Every week, Eric Dowdy's like, give up, Rob. Give up. Just don't even. It's never going to work out. And then I say, you know, I've given up on 90 Rock. He's like, fuck you. You suck. It's an idiot, you know? It's never going to work out for you. I say, probably not going to work out on 90 Rock. And he gets mad. Okay. Really, Robbie? What's going on?
Sorry, took a little bit longer.
All right, buddy.
All right. He wasn't paying attention.
Decline. Okay.
Hey, it's Rob Mayer. I missed your call. Leave a message. You know the deal.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
It seems unrealized. That's the problem. Do you guys agree with that? Like it didn't, like it meant to be something more and it just, you know the deal. Leave a mess. Like I feel like something else needs to be said there.
He sounded Robbie, forced and tired.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
All right. We'll improve on this next week.
Later. See you guys next week. Thank you, Marcus. Fuck Mermelstein.
See you later, man.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.